Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Becky Lynch proves there's no belt needed for maternity pants. Drew Gulak says goodbye. And AEW is set for Double or Nothing. But this year, is it a wise bet? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, coming at you across Canada on the TSN Radio Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and tonight we've got a packed program with a delightful assortment of guests. First up, with Becky Lynch announcing she's pregnant and relinquishing the title, I figured what better way to follow up the announcement than by welcoming two pregnant former WWE divas to the program. Brie and Nikki Bella currently star in Total Bellas on the E! Network, and tonight I'll chat with them to get their thoughts on WWE's handling of the Becky Lynch situation and a few notable items to come out of their new book. We'll also do our weekly deep dive on the news and find out why Drew Gulak is no longer with the WWE when we chat with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. We've got a rhyme time edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, and then in hour two, since none of us are able to go out to our local pub, we're bringing the bartender to you. Bartender Dave hops on board to co-host the hour and take a look back at this week in WWE and AEW TV. It's a jam-packed show, so we should probably get to it, kicking things off with a week in pro wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
All right. Well, the biggest news of the week, you already know. It broke Monday and came out Monday night. Becky Lynch is pregnant. She handed the title over to Asuka. Okay. We'll look at this in more detail in hour two of the show in particular, where I will explain why I think this is a terrible idea. And there is so much opportunity that the WWE missed with this segment. But now, let's move on to more recent news, and that would be Drew Gulak is no longer with the WWE. Fresh off his tournament loss to Daniel Bryan, Gulak's contract was due to expire. WWE had presented an offer to which Gulak then asked for a raise. Really, pal? Asking for a raise during the pandemic, talk about ballsy. And it didn't work out. WWE is clearly not interested in that, so they pulled their initial offer for Gulak. He's since been moved to the alumni section of the WWE. Bad decision, Drew. Bad decision. Now, in more SmackDown news, you surely noticed WWE is doing a tournament for the IC title. Well, that is because the company decided to strip Sami Zayn of his title, claiming that he was, quote-unquote, unable to compete. Now, this is because Sami has opted to stay home during the pandemic. God forbid. So much for saying that staying home will not affect your standing on the card. Hey, remember how Brock Lesnar stayed home a whole bunch and still held on to that title? Okay, sure. Zayn responded to the announcement he is no longer Intercontinental Champion on Twitter, writing, quote, I disagree with the decision, and no matter what anyone says, I am still undefeated and therefore still Intercontinental Champion, end quote. Lovely. Nice decision by WWE, but after all, you got to keep that Intercontinental Championship on TV, right? Because it means so much. WWE put in place their latest talent swapping rules this week called the brand-to-brand invitation. So whatever this is was explained further on this week's edition of SmackDown when Michael Cole said, quote, a process by which four times a year a superstar from Raw and a superstar from SmackDown will be allowed to travel to the other brand, end quote. Okay, that doesn't, you know, why bother? You know you're going to break the rule, so why bother even trying to explain it, Michael? I mean, he was forced to. Why bother even trying to explain it, WWE? Just I don't even know. But what we can be assured of is more Baron Corbin. More Baron Corbin, which we'll talk to bartender Dave about in the second hour of the show, because he's got to be thrilled. Wednesday night, NXT and AEW went up against UFC, so the ratings took a bit of a hit. AEW ended up with 654,000, while NXT ended up with 604,000 views. Those two are still very close, but both figures are down from the previous week. It was announced that Mike Tyson will be presenting the TNT Championship at AEW Double or Nothing on May 23rd. You know, for a company that prides themselves on being progressive and not like the WWE, going back to a performer that assisted to give the WWE the rise to the Attitude Era and an individual that was not just accused of, but was convicted of rape, this decision was a bit of a surprise for me. He'll be appearing at next week's card, which is taking place on Saturday night. Here is the card itself if you are interested in diving on into ordering this. It will still be primarily an empty arena card. Cody with Arn Anderson and Brandi Rhodes is going to take on Lance Archer with Jake Roberts. That is the tournament final for the AEW TNT Championship. MJF with Wardlow will take on Jungle Boy in a singles match. That one's due to be fun. Jon Moxley will be defending his AEW World Championship versus the Exalted One, Brody Lee. That's too fast. And notice it's not at the top of the card. Darby Allin versus Colt Cabana versus Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, and one more that will be added. They're going to be involved in a casino ladder match for a future AEW World Championship. Curious to see what they do with that concept. Nyla Rose is going to defend her AEW Women's World Championship versus Hikaru Shida. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, is going to take on Chris Statlander in a singles match. Let's hope Baker's in-ring work can live up to what she's doing on the mic, because she has been tremendous recently. Private Party will take on the Best Friends. And finally, we have the Stadium Stampede, which is going to be Matt Hardy and the Elite. And the Elite is going to feature the returning Adam Page, Matt and Nick Jackson, as well as Kenny Omega. They will take on the Inner Circle, consisting of Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. Once again, this is happening next Saturday night, and you can get it wherever you get your regular pay-per-view purchases. To me, it seems like the worst card they've put out to date, but people are looking for content to watch, so hopefully that assists with the buy rate on this one. However, in watching AEW, even more so than WWE, part of the fun was how passionate their fan base was and is. But of course, they're not going to be in attendance for this, so that is probably going to hurt the pay-per-view, I think, more than a WWE show. But we shall find out. For fans of New Japan Pro Wrestling just waiting till they get back on their feet and back doing shows, well, we did get an update this week on what's happening in the world of New Japan, and that was from President and CEO Harold Mage.
There are three reasons why New Japan Pro Wrestling has elected to cancel or to postpone so many events, and why we have not, to date, engaged in so-called empty arena matches. The first and foremost reason has been to protect the health and safety of our wrestlers and staff. When broadcasting matches free of spectators for broadcast online, even if we take all the possible precautions to maintain the safety of the venue and do all we can to ensure the staff and the wrestlers are healthy, the fact remains that safety is by no means guaranteed. Data has clearly shown high levels of infection within the cities like Tokyo, and therefore we believe that to stage events, even empty arenas, involves a level of unnecessary risk.
This whole clip is 9 minutes long, and Mage goes on to state that the next step would be to welcome back fans with added measures, and these steps will include extensive health checks on wrestlers and staff. Along with that, temperature checks upon entry, masks are going to be compulsory at venues, and they're also going to be thoroughly disinfecting the venues, and they're going to be ventilated, and proper social distancing spacing is all going to be implemented. It is going to take its toll on how many people they can fit into different stadiums, but I think that's something we're seeing all over the world. Mage ended the message by promising that New Japan Pro Wrestling won't be beaten by the disease and urged every pro wrestling fan to come together and overcome this challenge. If you're looking for podcasts to listen to, especially during the pandemic, I know your ears may be hungry for something beyond what you're listening to right now. Well, you may want to check out Talk is Jericho, even more than I would normally recommend, because this week features a rare interview with Owen Hart's widow, Martha Hart. Now, this comes preceding Tuesday's airing of the Vice Dark Side of the Ring special, the season finale, which is going to go through everything that happened with the death of Owen Hart. The special actually comes the week of the 21st anniversary of the death of Owen, which was on May 23rd, 1999. And finally, it's time to do our check-in on Dana White and Fight Island, as he appeared in a radio interview this week and stated that the UFC lightweight champion Khabib Nurmagomedov versus the interim lightweight champion Justin Gaethje is likely to headline on Fight Island. Yep. He was talking to Chicago's ESPN 1000. White said that after Nurmagomedov is finished observing Ramadan, that's on May 23rd, he'll be ready to fight and they can begin to plan when the unification fight will be on Fight Island. It's happening, friends. I'm so, so curious about Fight Island and how they're going to put this thing in place. We are going to take a break and we will be back on the other side. Dave Meltzer is going to join us to take a closer look at this week in pro wrestling and MMA news. So stick with us for that. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event and you're doing so on TSN Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is yous?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
It is time for the deep dive on This Week in Wrestling News, and that means we head to San Jose to chat with the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Find all of his work at WrestlingObserver.com. Hello, Dave Meltzer. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I feel as though at this point, Dave, you know, the pandemic is happening, but I'm in such a structure now that it's just like we're just going on with life at this point.
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel. It's like it's not anything greatly different. There's still stuff I would rather be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the one thing is with the UFCs, it really isn't, it's different without fans, but it isn't that different.
Well,
unlike with wrestling where it feels like weird. With the UFC, it just feels like, oh, there's no fans, but the fight's the same, you know. I mean, and we've gotten a lot of good fights, so, you know, there's that aspect too.
I think, Dave, we're also conditioned, having watched so many years of Ultimate Fighter that didn't have fans in the audience, it's like I've accepted that. And because it's real competition, I'm also more engaged as opposed to a lot of wrestling is watching for crowd reactions.
Right. And seeing who's over.
Yes.
You know, the game of wrestling is who's over,
yep.
And the game of fighting is who's going to win.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting because I was watching South Korea baseball, and it wasn't that bad either. It's just like watching baseball.
You know what? I think baseball is actually the best sport because it's a slow, methodical game that is based around a lot of stats as well. And
yeah.
I think that one has the best chance of working to the highest potential with no fans.
Yeah. You know, basketball, I think, will be hurt because to me, basketball is so much about the crowd reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, that's secondary to who's winning the most points. In wrestling, there's no points when you're watching the match.
Yeah, and I think hockey's going to be okay. And you know why, Dave? And I know you're a fan as well. But from watching international hockey for many years, often no audience for international hockey or no crowd there because it's being played at awkward times.
Interesting.
So there you go. Well, there's our take on the world of sports outside of wrestling.
And the thing is sports is coming back.
Yeah, it is.
So that's bringing people back to a certain normalcy. And a lot of places are opening up, like restaurants to a degree and things, you know, which may be early, it may not be early. I mean, you know, there's kind of that worry that we're going to make everything worse if we, you know, so who knows how this is going to play out.
Well, regardless, we're both in our grooves. We follow along, and wrestling hasn't stopped. It does seem to be more normal than when we first started. And this week, I have to say, what wasn't normal for me was when you reported the Drew Gulak being no longer with WWE. The details of this are very bizarre. His contract just expired.
His contract expired, yeah, and they were talking about a renewal. And he wanted more money. He wanted a raise. Oof. And they said no. And apparently the talks must have gone weird. And it ended up with it's not even like we'll work, you know, we can work through on the old terms and negotiate. It's like WWE pulled its offer from him.
I think that's a real ballsy move on Drew Gulak's part to ask for more money after seeing so many of your colleagues fired.
Well, he's not the only one. I think Mysterio's going to ask for more money too.
That's different. That's different to me.
Mysterio. They're not going to be cutting Mysterio
so
easily.
No, but Gulak's expendable. Like, well, how is Gulak different than Tony Nese or Jack Gallagher?
He's a little bit above them, but I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
It's like of the guys that are necessary that they you know for going forward. He had not gotten to the level of those guys. And it's also, you know, I mean, like, let's face it, between the firings and everything like that, if people were working there weren't scared before, they gotta be now.
For sure.
It's gotta be like when my contract's, but here's the thing. You gotta remember that up until 2 months ago, everybody whose contract was up was getting, you know, double money.
Yep.
Or you know what I mean?
Yep.
They were getting completely giant contracts because and nobody was being let go. And then we've switched to a new period where no raises and we'll let people go in a heartbeat, you know, because, you know, the feeling is the reason they weren't letting anyone go and they were paying someone so much is they didn't want anyone going to the opposition. Now, I think that they realize that there's so many guys out there and the opposition only takes so many. And, you know, again, if Drew Gulak shows up in AEW, he's not a game changer.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Unlike a Rey Mysterio.
That's right.
Who, if he shows up in AEW, he's going to be in main events and in unique first matches with all these people, and he will be a. I'm not saying the ratings will skyrocket with him, but he will certainly help the company a lot.
Rey is a brand. Drew Gulak is not.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, WWE Raw and SmackDown have the Invitational. The brand separation is gone once again. I mean, just ridiculous, Dave. Like, why even bother keep separating and then bringing them back together?
Every you know, couple of years, they think that they can pull it off. And you know what? With this, maybe if there was no pandemic, you know what? But you know what? I'm going to disagree with that, too, because what I think the pandemic did is it sped things up.
Mm.
It's like these numbers were going to decline. They were declining slowly. Now the decline got really big. And when the decline got really big, I mean, we talked about it. It's like Vince has got to make a move. And instead of changing, you know, the way they do things and perhaps learning from AEW about promos and everything, because if that would upset their entire structure and what they believe in, we'll just, like, let the talent go. Which is what they do every time. You know, when the ratings go, when there's a period where the ratings go down, they bring talent in from the other company, and it usually, when it's new and different, like it was this week, you know, there's a little bit of a bump. So that's what I think happened. So actually, I think SmackDown's going to be consistently higher just because there's no, you know, the networks are in reruns, and once the networks are in reruns and you've got so much of the U.S. no longer having cable, you know, it's a pretty high percentage now, 35%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the networks are you know, bigger than ever, and there's a certain audience that's going to be the network audience. And it's still Friday nights, and people aren't going out. Now, when people start going out on Friday night again, then you're going to be in trouble.
Right, right. So, well, who knows when that's going to be, as we talked about. So, yeah, I can see those levels maintaining. Two WWE belts have been removed this week. Becky on Raw, of course, due to the pregnancy. And more interestingly, Sami Zayn on SmackDown is relieved of his Intercontinental title duties. What did you take on this, Dave? Because I've had two different thought processes. One is, like, it's unfair to Sami. Two is it gives Sami the ideal gimmick when he does return.
It does give him a gimmick when he returns. But I think it also sends a message to people, you know, that, again, he wasn't gone that long. You know, it's and they were not happy that he was gone. I mean, that's the difference. It's like when guys like Adam Page, just as an example, you know, they were the Young Bucks, and they're, you know, Young Bucks are highly paid guys. When they were gone from AEW, I never heard one person going like, oh, you know, like, they should be coming here, and then they are going to come.
Yep.
You know, to this Wednesday
pay-per-view. Yeah,
yeah, for the pay-per-view week. Okay, so but the thing is I never heard once anyone complaining. It was always like, you know, it's their choice. But with Sami Zayn, when he didn't come, it's like, you know, he's the Intercontinental Champion. You know, it's just, so it's like there is a very different mentality, and you can tell by more people not coming to AEW and everything that you know the words of, you know, it's optional, you don't have to come. They're not. I don't think that they really mean it in WWE.
Right.
I think the Sami Zayn thing is kind of like telling you. But the other thing too is that with WWE, I mean the belts are props a lot more. You know, it's not really. You know, it's like, okay, Sami's Intercontinental Champion. It's not like he's their Intercontinental Champion because they have some long term plan and they're pulling a long term plan. It's kind of like, oh, so he's the champion this week. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, he's not going to come. We get another guy for to be the champion this week. It's not. It's not like we're trying to create the belts and give belts credibility. We've got all these challengers lined up down the line and long-term plans. You don't. So it's kind of like, hey, you don't got a champion this week, so let's get a champion. I mean, but the interesting thing was with Jordan Devlin, just as an example.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're making a champion, but very much when Jordan Devlin can come in the country, he's still going to be champion and face that other champion. Whereas with Sami, they probably will still do that, but it's just they worded it differently. As far as why it's not an interim intercontinental like that, it's like, I guess one is Triple H and one is Vince.
Right. Yeah, that's, I didn't even think about that. I more so thought about, well, they must have wanted a tournament on the air, and why not just do that with Becky's belt on Raw?
They didn't have that plan. With Becky, they had a month's notice. I mean, like, they had to know, when I look back at everything, you know, they had to know, like, within, what was it, about 10 days after WrestleMania. So they've had a month to figure this out, whereas with Sami Zayn, it's just like, you know, Vince just probably made a decision last Monday. It's like, okay, he's not coming to TV, then we're making a tournament. Whereas with Becky, it was like a month, what do we do? Let's just have the winner of the Money in the Bank champion.
That's what it was, too. The way that you said it so apathetic is how I felt about how that transition happened from Becky to Asuka. I think that they had a real opportunity there and just did the giveaway. It seems so second thought, so apathetic to me.
I would completely agree, but I guess the problem was that you had someone with a briefcase. But you know what? You could still put her in the tournament. She still got the shot later. You can still do all the same thing. You know, I think the other thing, too, is watching this is that, the big thing with the briefcases is that you come out with a briefcase and everyone goes crazy. And it's kind of like, well, that's not going to happen.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, that's right. The cash in would be really anticlimactic because there's no crowd going nuts. I always think of that Dolph Ziggler or Edge cash ins that were insane for crowd reaction. There is none of that.
Yeah, but even like all the way through, you know, it's always that sort of excitement, especially if they like don't do the cashing for several months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, like Brock Lesnar, you know, it was like every week, you know, they did that to build, you know, ratings and hook people and kind of like, what was the word, kind of like hook people and not give it away. But, you know, it was like a ratings ploy. And with this, it's kind of like, you know, what are you gonna do? But yeah, no, you know what? They probably should have done it, especially because they had that time.
Yeah.
They probably should have done a tournament for the women's title because it is weird. It's like, okay, Asuka's the champion because she won a briefcase that nobody knew about, and it's kind of like, I don't know. But you know, again, and I think it's the same with like the Sami Zayn thing. It's like the titles like really don't mean anything there. I mean, I think that that's the key. Maybe the world titles, but the other titles are just pass-around titles. Like, it's like when someone goes, oh, you know, they're putting their trust in you as the women's champion. It doesn't mean anything. They'll put anyone. Anyone can win that title. And it's just, you know, whoever that week, you know.
Oh, I completely know. I definitely see it. Hey, let's maybe Vince is just a little preoccupied with Oliver Luck. What is happening in this scenario with the Vince firing of Oliver Luck and the case that's coming out of this? And what potential problems does this cause for Vince and the WWE?
Well, for WWE, in theory, there's nothing. With Vince, absolutely. It's a $23.8 million thing, which even to Vince, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He can afford it, but it's still a lot of money. So what happened is when Vince signed Oliver Luck is a sharp guy. I remember people telling me when he signed him, it was kind of like, Oliver Luck's a sharp guy. If he's going there, everything's guaranteed. And as it turned out, and people thought it was like, maybe he's making like $5 million a year. Well, it turns out he was making $7 million a year, guaranteed for 5 years, $35 million. I remember the number going around was $20 million. It was $35 million he was guaranteed to go, which explains why he went. And, of course, they folded the league. But the thing was is that he got it in his contract that this is guaranteed by Vince. It's not XFL. So if XFL folded, he would get his money for all 5 years.
Wow.
However, the Vince's thing was is that, you know, if you're fired for just cause, you know, you don't get your money. So Vince's claim, you know, right before the XFL folded, just days before, Vince fired Oliver Luck. And he made a claim that he fired him because he hired Antonio Callaway, who was a, you know, Vince's doctrine is nobody with legal problems can be hired. And he hired Antonio Callaway. But the thing with Antonio Callaway was he, like, hired him in December or January. But Antonio Callaway was involved in when he was in college. Had you know, I think it was a forged check thing. I forgot what the exact thing was. And he also had a ticket when he was driving for driving with a suspended license. So he does have like legal issues there. There's sort of something, but it's not like armed robbery or anything like that either. And then there were a couple of other things. What was the other two things? Oh, I forgot it off the top of my head, but I just don't even remember what the other two things were. They were kind of like minor things.
Yeah,
like,
it was all very minor for this firing.
One was like completely ridiculous, but they've got their charges as far as you know, what that they got rid of him for. And when you read it, you kind of go, I don't know about this.
All right, well, let's flip over to the world of AEW. Next week is Double or Nothing number 2. Mike Tyson being involved. That's a weird one for me.
It surprised me a little bit. I mean, Mike Tyson came to their show a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
They became friends with him. They brought him to a Jaguars game, and they asked him to do this. And from what I gather, I mean, it's expensive. It's Mike Tyson. It's an expense, but, you know, it's part of their, they were going to have someone. I mean, if you remember the last time they used Bret Hart in that position.
I'm,
you
know, okay with that.
Yeah.
Bret seems different. I mean, I also look at what surrounds Mike Tyson. I know it was a long time ago, but it's not just accused of rape. It's convicted of. And for an organization that is, you know, really pushing themselves as a little bit more progressive, it seems weird to go back to a guy who helped launch the Attitude Era in WWE.
I don't even think they think of it that way, because Mike Tyson's like almost like a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 22 years ago. And Mike Tyson, you know, I mean, he's on UFC videos constantly. He's on TV commercials. He's on talk shows. He's, you know, on ESPN. He was just on that viral video of them teasing that he's going to box again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, he's kind of like this weird, but most people think of, oh, there's Mike Tyson. He's, you know, let's have a smile on our face. Type of a thing. The funny thing is, to an AEW crowd, but because it doesn't matter when I think about it, it's like, I was thinking, like, to an AEW live crowd, he would be big, but actually a wrestling person would be bigger.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I was thinking of the pop, but it doesn't really matter. There is no pop. And again, he's someone who, you know, they're looking for a photo op, whether it's with Cody or with Lance Archer. There's Mike Tyson presenting him the belt. Maybe it gets them some publicity, because the one thing with AEW, what they need is something that will get them traction outside of the wrestling world. The wrestling world knows they're around, or at least a lot of the wrestling world does. But the real world thinks wrestling's WWE, and that's actually the thing that they need the most, right? And especially now when they're not doing live shows, is just something that makes people not watching wrestling go, oh, hey, there's another wrestling show, and Mike Tyson's in it. Let's check this thing out. So that's kind of what that's the idea behind it, is to just get on, whether it's SportsCenter or you know, a little bit more, something viral. There's Mike Tyson. And again, with Mike Tyson there, I don't know that this is going to happen, but, you know, he does need to deck somebody, I think.
Yeah.
Because that's the key to the whole thing. And if it's the deal there and it's Jake, man, I don't know if Jake's, Jake wouldn't be the wrong guy because he's famous, but I could just imagine that not being so good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like it's Sammy Guevara's spot to have somehow, some way.
Well, Sammy Guevara would be fantastic to do that because you know he's going to take this incredible bump.
Yes.
Maybe that's the idea. That's actually a great idea, is to have him, okay, so he presents the belt, but he's there and just throws one punch at Sammy Guevara. And, you know, and especially like with Sammy Guevara, they could almost do a comedy thing of him showing up all bandaged up the next week like they did this week.
Yeah. Or even Chris, Jericho as well, is somehow gets in his face. And if that's your deck, then it would work as well. And you know he'd do everything right because he just, everything he touches is great.
Yes, yes.
One last thing, Dave, and it's AEW. And there were so many rumors this week, and that is about Sting. Sting and AEW, what is the story here?
I don't know any story as far as what's going on. I know, obviously he's got no relationship with WWE, which really surprised me.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those guys I didn't think that they would have no relations with. I mean, technically right now, Ric Flair's the same way. Hmm. I mean, Ric Flair's a free agent. But with Sting, I mean, I've got to think there's smoke to the fire, number one, because he's tweeting about AEW, and Sting's not going to do that because he's not paying attention to anything unless he's got an interest in it, and that they're kind of acknowledging it. And also, when I ask about it, I get no answer.
Right.
If there was nothing to it, I'm sure that they would say, oh, there's nothing to it. So I think that there's something to it, but if they already have a deal, they're going to announce it on their terms, because sometimes they'll wait a couple of weeks, and if they don't have a deal, that's probably something that they're at least contemplating.
You know, Dave, I find it very funny that because after this WrestleMania, all of a sudden, all the rumors popped up again of if you do it cinematically, it could be Sting and The Undertaker. And it's the dream match for so many people, including myself, it was for many years, but I had given up. And then all of a sudden, the cinematic aspect comes into it. People start talking about it again. And it looks like Sting is not a factor anymore because he might be in another organization.
Well, it's funny because you had so many years where you could have done it.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where, I mean, here's, Vince did not watch other things. And, with Vince, Vince never got Sting. It's like the reason Sting came back and everything was because of the video game. And then when they announced him in the video game, the crowd went so crazy.
Yes.
That Vince was kind of like, okay, there's something there. And then people would talk Sting Undertaker. And Vince, if Vince saw something in Sting Undertaker, he'd have done it years ago. And Undertaker talked about it, and Sting talked about it, and Vince, for whatever reason, I don't know what it was. Vince, it just wasn't in Vince's mind as something that he thought would mean anything at this stage of the game. And it probably would, but, as far as Sting wrestling, I don't see it. But, yeah, the cinematic thing, there's ways to protect him. You could have done it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dave, we thank you for this week. What's coming up in The Observer?
Just who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of days, but I guess previewing the AEW pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And but other news. It's not, I don't have like a load of stuff. I know I'm going to have the movie that Hiroshi Tanahashi was in that I actually wrote about, but there was so much news this last week that it didn't get in. And I just suspect the nature of everything that there's going to be an incredible amount of news in the next couple of days, because there really always is in sports, because so many things are changing, and that affects we're going to have people test positive again.
Yes.
It's a question of not if, but when.
Yep.
With these different sports, and then what happens, and what happens if somebody gets sick. I mean, these are all questions that are going to be coming up.
All right. Well, you'll be covering them all. WrestlingObserver.com is where people can get it and subscribe. And we'll talk to you next week at this time.
Okay. Have a great week.
You too. We are now going to take a break. We shall come on back. Let's do a little trivia next, and then we'll get into chatting with the Bellas. A loaded show this week. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event and doing so on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have 4 beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event, and we're finally back to the games. It's been so long since we've played one of these, but I've been craving it. So, these two gentlemen, when asked, both wanted a game format. So, we head over to Australia, and we have Chris on the line. Hello, Chris.
G'day, everyone.
And your opponent is in Edmonton, and his name is Andre. Hi, Andre.
How you doing?
Doing very well. All right, gentlemen, you both actually requested Rhyme Time, and that's how this round is working, by the way. Everyone is requesting what game or if they want straight-up trivia, and then I put them against one another. So you both requested Rhyme Time. The Rhyme Time game is played where you have to answer in a rhyme. So I may ask you something like, my favorite is Roderick Toombs opens up an exotic pet store specializing in snakes, and the answer would be Piper's Vipers. But that is obviously not a question because we've done that one. Instead, I have a bunch of rhymes that are going to come at you. Steals are in play. 3 each coming at you, so pay attention to the other guy's questions. Chris, you will start. And here is your first one. Jungle Boy ditches the world of wrestling to start a milk and cheese factory. Once again. Jungle Boy ditches the world of wrestling to start a milk and cheese factory. What would it be called, Chris?
I've got half of it, but I'm going to have to pass because I don't have the other reference.
All right. He doesn't have the other reference. Doesn't want to even give you a clue, Andre. He's playing very slyly. Andre, do you have a guess on this?
Perry's Dairy.
Oh, Perry Dairy is correct. So Andre gets the steal on that. Very good. All right. Maybe you can steal this if Andre doesn't get it. So here you go. Andre, your first question. Mrs. John Moxley owes money. Once again, Mrs. John Moxley owes money.
Renee Pay?
No, that is incorrect. Not Renee Pay. That is a great guess, but I'm looking for something, perhaps I'll say more specific, but I will say no more when I give Chris the guess of the steal. Chris?
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Nothing on it? Correct answer was Renee Young's real name, her last name is Paquette, and a Paquette debt would be if she owed money. All right.
Oh, I knew that name too.
Yes, Andre, honestly, I put the Canadian question, the Canadian girl, to you because I didn't think it would be fair for Chris. So Renee Paquette, her real name. All right, Chris, to you for this one. The AEW Women's Champion begins a foot fetish website. What might it be called? And you're welcome, everyone, for this visual. So the AEW Women's Champion begins a foot fetish website. Chris?
Yeah, I've got no idea on that one.
No idea. All right. So for the steal, can you get it again, Andre? The AEW Women's Champion begins a foot fetish website.
Rose Toes?
Rose Toes is correct. And everyone's thinking about it right now. Rose Toes is in Nyla Rose and Toes. Okay. Andre, to you for this. And if you get it, you mathematically win. Your question is, a football kick finisher for the smallest member of the Jurassic Express. A football kick finisher for the smallest member of the Jurassic Express.
Stunt punt.
You got it. And Andre has got the win with three. And you can't catch up, Chris, but thank you very much for playing the game.
Nah.
Chris is fading in and out as it is right there. Well, Andre, congratulations. It's your choice of t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. You can just go through the website, pick one out, and we'll get it over to Edmonton for you, all right?
Awesome. I'm happy, buddy.
At this point, I think you're building up a bit of a collection, Andre. He's won a couple times here on Turnbuckle Trivia. If you would like to play, if you think you could have got the rhyme time answers there and knew Paquette Det, then please, by all means, sign up for the Patreon and become a member, and you'll get on Turnbuckle Trivia if you choose that level of Patreon. It's patreon.com/SNME Radio. We are now off to a break. When we come back, Bree and Nikki, the Bella Twins. Yep, I'm chatting with them next, right here on Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. I got the eye
of the tiger. If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents,
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Welcome back. Sunday night's main event here on TSN Radio. And listen, I never thought that I would be playing this theme and throwing to an interview that I got to do with not just one, but both of the Bella Twins. If you had asked me when we started this show a couple of years back if they'd ever be on the show, I thought no. And technically, they weren't, because this interview was done for my other show, which is called The Late Shift. And it's part of the Bell Media family, and it airs across Canada on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. And I host it every Monday to Thursday night from midnight till 4 a.m. Well, because of that, E! Network is a Bell Media channel here in Canada. So when they started doing promo for the Bella Twins, I was like, I'd like to talk to them. And I got a spot. So I got to interview Bree and Nikki Bella. They're being quarantined together, as we find out in this interview. And they also released a book, a memoir. Perfect timing to chat about that. Also, they're having babies, and Becky just had a baby, is announced her pregnancy. Nice tie in there as well. And let's just play this interview that I did. This would have been on Thursday morning of this past week with Nikki and Bree, the Bellas.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are the two of you?
We're really good, thank you.
Good stuff. How's isolation been treating the two of you? Are you together or are you apart?
So lucky enough, we're together. We've actually been in isolation together for what? A little over 9 weeks now? Because we started early.
Yeah.
And we actually are next door neighbors with like a zero property line.
Okay.
So I know. It's so winning. But right. So the nice thing is we get to have coffee in the morning together, dinners at night, but we still have our own space. But it's actually been quite pleasant.
Did you manage to fill the whole season of Total Bellas before COVID hit?
So we wrapped season 5, which is on air now.
Yep.
We wrapped, end of
February.
Yeah, February was it?
Right.
Or end of January. Yeah, we did, I think, end of January, something like that. And it was like crazy. It was like kind of a month before all the chaos started.
Now, you're both pregnant, of course. How has COVID affected doctor's appointments and checkups? And how about plans for birth? Like, are you still going to a hospital, or is there going to be a home birth?
So, it's crazy. And this is Bree, because this is my second pregnancy. I can't believe how different this one is. But you have to go to the doctors by yourself, so no family members, no spouses, not even your kids can come with you. So for someone like myself, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm fine. I had the first one, but for someone like Nikki, I feel so bad for her. She has to do all of it by herself.
Yeah, it's definitely been, you know, not what I expected for my first pregnancy, just, you know, being alone. The good thing is, as of now, because I'm due at the beginning of August, my doctor said that Artem gets to be in the labor. No one else, just him. So I'm really grateful for that.
Yes, and I thought about a home birth, but I can't just because I had an emergency C-section with my first.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my doctor told me, she was like, everything's great at the hospital. We get everyone checked. And because we're in triage, she's like, you're kind of away from the chaos. So I was like, okay, that makes me feel better.
So, Bree, I mean, how are things working with you and Brian? He's still going to TV every second week. But what does that mean for the two of you being together?
So what we do is every time Brian flies back into town, he stays at an Airbnb and then he sees our doctor. And so we kind of just wait out his symptoms. And then when our doctor gives him the okay, he comes home. So it's been a hard process.
I bet.
For sure. But, you know, safety's first. And Brian and I just keep telling each other, like, this is a small time in our lives. You know, we pray everything goes back to normal, but we have to be grateful for our jobs, and if this is what we have to do, then I guess this is what we have to do.
Well, you know, WWE had put in place that performers didn't have to go, and they were supposedly not going to be penalized. There had to be at least discussion between you and Brian about him just pulling away from it for a while, was there?
We did. We discussed it, just, and especially because I'm pregnant, you know, just the risk there. So we definitely talked about it, but we were like, okay, if you don't stay home and you go, how can we make this work? And so that's when we talked to our doctor. Because if our doctor was like, no, no way, we can't do this, it's impossible, then we were going, Brian was going to stay home. But our doctor gave us a lot of hope and was like, you know, it might be a little pricey, but let's, you know, we could work on this. Like, we can make it work. And so that's when we were like, you know what, let's do it then. It's going to take a lot of effort, but it's worth it.
Makes sense. So, listen, it's really cool that I'm speaking to the two of you this week. Ideal timing, because obviously a big week for wrestling and pregnancy, and I don't know when we could have ever said that before. Becky Lynch announced on Monday that she's gone from the man to the mom. What, for either one of you, what were your thoughts on that segment and how WWE handled it?
So, I loved the way WWE handled it.
And yeah.
You know, it gives me goosebumps talking about it right now, and I had goosebumps when I watched, because, you know, they didn't take away her being a champion, but they didn't take away the excitement of her becoming a mom as well. I thought it was done so beautifully.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're a professional wrestler female, you know, it's hard to ever think about the times you get to be a mom, because, you know, that means you have to step away from your career. It's just, it's impossible. And, you know, but you always have that desire inside. So I am so happy for her, because she was one hell of a champ, and I know she's going to be one hell of a mom. And I even texted her. I was like, listen, I've been able to balance both a career and, you know, being a hands-on mom. I'm like, if you need any advice, let me know. But I love the way WWE handled that segment.
It's, you know, I think it's always fun for us, you know, as fans, when we get to kind of break down that third wall and see the true emotions of the characters. And you felt out with Becky Monday night. It was so beautiful. I definitely agree.
So listen, the memoir just came out recently. Considering the state of the world and people having so much more time on their hands, not a bad time to put out a book, but why did you two opt to write the book and put it out now?
You know, Nikki and I, we've been filming reality television for 7 years. And, you know, it's amazing because people always do label us strong women. And what we realize is they look a lot at our WWE careers and us opening up our lives on reality television. But, you know, my sister and I believe our strength really started when we came out of our childhood. And we have all these stories, and no one really knew, like, how the Bellas grew up. I mean, everyone always assumed certain things. And my sister and I are like, you know, we see the connection we get with our audience and our fans by opening up our lives on reality television and how many people we've helped. We feel like if we really, you know, tell our stories of being young and growing into women, we'd help a lot more other women. So it was why we wanted to write a memoir. And I mean, the timing, you know, of people really wanting to read during quarantine worked out great, even though we were a little nervous because it is just high for all books. So There's a lot of people putting out books. But we just felt like it was a good time just to, like, kind of open up, you know, our childhood and let people in on it.
Now, Nikki, it was revealed in the book that you were sexually assaulted twice in your teenage years. Why did you wait till now to reveal this, considering you have been in the media spotlight for so long?
Right. When it came to Bree and I about writing this memoir, I didn't want to have a book that was just about, like, our accomplishments and, oh, look at what I have done. I truly wanted that when you shut the book, you took something away from it, that it was almost more of a self-help, that, like, if you were a victim, you wanted to become a survivor and truly become a hero of your own story, just like Bree and I have. And over the past 13 years of being with WWE, in the past 7 years of being on a reality show and being with the media, I have been so fortunate enough to have a more intimate connection with my Bella Army. And you start to hear so many stories of either how you motivate or inspire these people or the struggles that they've gone through. And then the Me Too movement happened. And that really opened up my eyes as well. And I've been in therapy for a long time, and I have lived so long with so much shame and guilt and blaming myself. And when I saw all these women start to speak and I started to hear these Bella Army members' stories, I started to realize I wasn't alone and that a lot of people also need help as well. So when it came to this memoir, I told Bree, like, should I finally talk about this? Like, mom doesn't even know. No one really knows. And Bree was like, you should. You could help a lot of people. And that's what ended up making me want to do it now. Because, see, when I was younger and when I was raped twice, there was no one talking about it. I had no one to look up to. I had no one to help make me brave or courageous to come out and fight it. And now I'm like, I don't want anyone to be what I was. I don't want them to hold on to it for 20 years. I want the girls in high school and college and the women in their 20s, 30s, and beyond to know that they have someone who will stand behind them and help them either fight it or fight those feelings, get the help they need. And so that's what I hope that my story can do for people.
Now, Nikki, you mentioned there that your mom did not know about these two events that happened, but you two, Nikki and Bree, are very close. Bree, did you know what happened? And were you able to confide in Bree as a sister? So, sorry, first question for Bree. Bree, did you know about the circumstances when it happened?
Oh, I did. Mm-hmm. You know, Nikki, it took her a while to tell me, but she finally ended up telling me, and which I was happy about because she was silent about it for a while until she felt that she could speak about it. And when she did tell me, I think we were just out of high school. It was really shocking for me, but it also made me really sad that she didn't feel comfortable enough to, like, talk about it, that she was living in shame and guilt and she had all these other feelings. And that made me sad because no one should ever feel that.
Absolutely. Now, the other interesting note that I found from the writing of the book, and Nikki, I have to direct this one at you. I mean, there's a contract that you had to sign in regards to what you were going to say about, you know, your former beau, John Cena, to have editing rights on any content that you mentioned him in. So he's read the chapter and he had the right to edit it. Did that affect how you were writing, knowing that, well, John's going to have to approve all this anyway, so I can't maybe say what I really wanted to say?
I mean, of course, it definitely, writing it, did that stuff cross my mind? It did. And there was never anything bad I wanted to say about John. John and I had a beautiful relationship. Did we have struggles? Yes. Will anyone ever know about them? No. And it's just something that, at least my therapist and I know about, and I get through, and I have gone through. But overall, we did have such a beautiful relationship. I mean, WWE also had editing rights and took out a few stories as well. I respect that. Like, I understand that I'm not a private person, and some people like to be private. But even with the stuff that was edited with John, like, there was nothing crazy bad. I just wish I was able to talk more about why I ended up where I ended up. I still feel like people always will wonder that. And, and I think it's because we put our relationship out there on reality TV for 5-6 years. And so I wanted to tell that story.
So do you regret signing that contract then?
I was so young. I was, I think, 28 or 29. I don't regret it because I understand, even now, like, I understand it. I do. But I also do represent being an empowering woman and using your voice. And so those are the moments where I wish maybe I handled things a little differently because of what I represent now and what I've always wanted to represent. And I feel like sometimes that can take your voice away. But I don't have regrets with it.
All right. Well, I'll pull away from the topic of John Cena, but I do want to ask you one more wrestling-related question before we go. Listen, I know both of you right now are in total baby mode, but fans are going to want to know, beyond the baby, are the Bellas done with professional wrestling and in-ring work?
So, for me, Nikki, unfortunately, as of now, I'm never allowed to wrestle again because of my neck. And that's always sad to me. But I love the WWE Universe. I love wrestling. I love everything it brings, the entertainment aspect. So the good thing is you could always be general manager. I could always be free sidekick and come cause some trouble. I still would love to do more stuff with WWE in the future. It's home for us. It's what we love. We're passionate about it. So and you see that with people who've been there forever. We are always all popping in every now and then. I think that's what makes the product fun. So I'm hoping, we still get to do stuff in the future.
Right. And I think, I told Nicole, you see, Daniel Bryan and Edge, and they had bad news like my sister, and, miracles can happen. So who knows? Maybe down the road, the Bellas will come back and be the new women's tag team champions.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You haven't had those belts, so they're out there and perhaps available. Well, ladies, listen, all the best to you as you continue on with the reality show, of course, and more importantly, with the pregnancies in the midst of COVID. Stay safe, and thanks for taking time out today.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, I walked around the world
to find my way back home. My thanks to Nikki and Brie Bella for getting together there and chatting. And we got to hear about what they thought. Honestly, it was the perfect storm of an interview there for promotion of Total Bellas. And you can watch that on the E! Network here in Canada and in the E! Network in the U.S. as well. Along with that, we had the tie-in of the memoir that came out. You can get that on Amazon. Just look it up. And Becky Lynch's pregnancy announcement to have the Bella twins on and talking about being pregnant during the pandemic. It was really the perfect storm to have them on. And honestly, you know, with that last question, I do think that the Bellas will always be tied to WWE. You're definitely going to see them go into the Hall of Fame eventually because they're just picked for that, and they've been a great rep to the WWE outside of the so-called universe because they're on E! Network, and they've got this Kardashian vibe going for them, and they still have a show. Beyond Total Divas, it's Total Bellas. And congrats to them for building an entire franchise based on themselves. Good for them. So there you have it. A pleasant and unexpected interview that I managed to air for all of you guys here on Sunday night's main event. We are now going to take a break and come back. The second hour, we're going to take a deep dive into the world of television, of this week's WWE and AEW television. Bartender Dave will join me, so stick around for that. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full two-hour show, commercial-free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.